Welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and I'm going to be honest with you. I already recorded an intro for this episode. It was ready to go. We were all set. But I don't know, man. I had 2.5 cups of coffee today, and that one was all about how it's so hot in LA. And it was not so hot anymore today, and I wore a puffy vest, and I wore a beanie, and I was like, this just feels wrong. It feels wrong and dated and a little bit like a lie. So I had to re-record one, and that's where we are. What did I say in that one that has been lost to time? We will never know. But either way, I feel like I'm in the perfect mindset for a Gab Sesh episode, and I cannot wait to bring you another. I'm very happy with the way we have reorganized these, by the way, so I'm looking forward to this one as much as I hope you are as well. The only urgent thing I really have to tell you about is that last night, I don't know what happened to me, but I like fully locked in and started cooking again. Like not, I mean, we cook dinner every night, but like not, I don't even want to call it like making meals. What's it called? Meal prep? That's what it's called, obviously. Not even like meal prep. I was just like, I know I'm going to be hungry at 10:30 tomorrow morning and I'm going to have no breakfast food. So I made this like baked cottage cheese casserole. Oh yeah, we're getting, see how much we've jumped from cottage cheese from Gab Sesh to Gab Sesh. It really is like a yardstick in time for me. But yeah, I made this like baked cottage cheese eggy thing. And like the whole internet was like, you gotta be baking that cottage cheese. And they were right. It's delicious. I truly like can't wait to, I mean, I can wait to finish the podcast. Like that's fine. I just can't wait to eat this after I finish recording. That's the right way to say that. Anyway, I don't want to waste the rest of your time. I'm just happy to be here. I can't wait to yap about my favorite TV shows at the moment. Oh my gosh, we have so many to talk about seeing Bluey and Bingo in the flesh, in the fur, however you want to put it. So exciting. Some other Disney stuff. So much life stuff. Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you in a second. So who cares? I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy this little chat with Becky, and I'll see you momentarily. Okay, love you. Bye. Welcome home. Are you a little sad to be off the Disney adventure? Because it looked amazing.
I was back to back. And it's the first time I ever thought I needed to do back to back to back and possibly to back.
Wait, you did two of them?
We did. We did a 3-day and then the 4-day. Because again, adventure, huge ship. Absolutely amazing. Tons of stuff to do on board. All the characters and the shopping and just how big it is. And the shows. Oh my gosh. I think I actually experienced the best dinner show I have ever seen on Disney Cruise Line, Hollywood Spotlight. It's set up like old 30s, 40s glam inside.
No!
And they have musicians, and then the characters come in. And then they go to tables.
So multiple characters?
Multiple characters.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad that you made it back and that you are at least awake enough to tell us about these major discounts, because I saw the news before we talked, and I couldn't wait to talk to you. Tell us everything about these Disney Cruise Line discounts.
Yeah, do you remember the last discount that came out? And I said, they've never done this before, and it's one of the best deals ever. Now we have kids sale 50% off the voyage fare. If you book by June 14th, so it's you got some time here, you get 50% off the voyage fare for up to 3 kids, ages, you know, because normally it's you know, 3 to 9. This is up to age 17 on select sailings with the purchase of 2 full fare guests in the same cabin. So if you have 2 adults that are paying full fare, you get up to 3 kids at 50% off. And that's available on select sailings and ships from October 1st, 26 to March 27th, 2027. I've seen them available on every ship except for the Adventure. There's not a better time to sail with DCL, especially because they are still running. All right, for those of us who don't have kids, they're still running that 25% off voyage fare for select sailings between April 2026 now and July. But you get that 25 or 20% off and up to 250 onboard credit at the same time. So if you've ever wanted to do a Disney cruise, now's the time to do it. And there's also, outside of these offers, you can find really great savings on sailings from San Diego and even Alaska. So if you were ever interested in doing Alaska and it's not part of these offers, they are still lower than they've ever been before.
Wow. And remember,
Crazy.
reaching out to Mouseman Travel is the best way to book this, because I say that as somebody who books cruises with Mouseman Travel, because parsing through these on your own is so annoying. You do not want to do it. Trust me. And so to have a professional who can really tell you which deal is best for you and how to save the most money is so helpful, and it costs you nothing.
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 Nothing. Thank you so much, Becky. I can't wait to hear what other deals you have later on in the show. Welcome back. And boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to discuss today, including the fact that I just bought this new thing called a shock mount for my microphone, because I have a problem where I just keep like hitting the desk. I talk with my hands. I can't help it. Even though no one can see me, I got to be talking with my hands. I got to be gesturing. And I can hear, like, I'm very picky. You know that I want you to have the highest quality experience while listening to this podcast, even if the content sometimes is me being like, I love popcorn. I just want it to be the best version of I Love Popcorn for you. That's what I really care about. And I always hit things, and I always, oh, I have to take off my bracelets. I always wear jewelry, and that's some of the clanging you might hear in the background. So I bought this thing to put on the mic, but I don't think it's going to work with the way that my mic is set up on this tripod. I need one of those, you know, whenever you see like someone like YouTubing a podcast, and they like pull, the mic is like an arm, and they're like, burr, 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 and they like readjust it like they're on NPR or something. I don't have that. I have a little tripod because my desk has rounded edges, yada, yada, yada. I bought this thing. It's not going to work, but this should still sound great. Oh, the rings. The rings also, you can hear that? That's the rings. I'm just going to slowly take off all my jewelry, and then we're going to get into it because we have a Gab Sesh episode today. And if you didn't listen to February's, there was a discussion of should this be called Gab Sesh or should this be called Mishmash? I got a lot of replies, a lot of calls, a lot of texts, including one like literally 2 days ago that was like, oh, final vote for Mishmash. But I think people really prefer Gab Sesh. They think it kind of sums up what these episodes are more than calling it a mishmash. So we will keep it as Gab Sesh going forward. I hope that is cool with you. And to my mishmash people, I know mishmash just really makes me want a soup full of matzo balls. So I guess at least Gab Sesh makes me less hungry and keeps me more focused on the task at hand. But when I reorganized this format last month, because remember, we are going to be doing these probably once a month now. I just feel like it's a really good catch-all for a lot of stuff I want to chat with you about that isn't always full episode worthy. When you cobble it all together in those four categories, it just kind of makes sense. We will begin with Disney stuff we got to discuss. The next one is things I've done that I want to chat with you about, or sorry, things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about, which really, that's kind of all I want this podcast to be, unless we're like learning how audio animatronics work. The tireless pursuit of feeling good all the time. That one's gonna be a little short this month, but we still got it in there. And stuff I'm currently obsessed with. Like, truly, those are the four horsemen of my existence. But we were going to begin with Disney stuff we got to discuss, because there was some pretty big news over the past week, which was that we had the name and some details about the new Disney Cruise Line ship, the Disney Believe. Now, we knew new ships were coming, but this is the first bit of concrete info we have been given. There are going to be 13 ships total in the DCL fleet by 2031, which is not that far away. Right now, there are 8 in operation, including the Adventure. It feels like the Adventure is like this other thing that we don't include, kind of like when you're talking about Disney parks and you're like, oh yeah, and then there's the Tokyo one, but it's not really operated by the Walt Disney Company. It is one of theirs, even though it does feel a little disconnected from the rest of the fleet. Maybe it's just because that's how it feels now, but this fleet is going to be global so soon, so I guess that's just how it is. Anyway, 13 ships by 2031 means we are going to get 5 more ships in the next 5 years, which is wild. That is an unprecedented pace that I, for one, as a Disney Cruise Line fan, cannot wait to see. But what struck me is like pretty surprising by this announcement is that it is a bit odd that when you actually sit down and think about it, the Wish class ship, which the Disney Believe will be, it will be the 4th Wish class ship. That class of ship is now becoming representative of the entire Disney Cruise Line fleet. Like, there's going to be 4 of them. And that's pretty wild to me, because I don't know if you felt the same way, but for the past few years, I've just been viewing these with the lens of them being different. You know, there were the first 2 ships. We're like, ooh, the smaller, quainter ones. Then, ooh, the Dream and the Fantasy. And for so long, it was just those 4. 2 different styles, 2 ships each. Now we're going to have double the amount of the same style of ship. And that's becoming the norm, which I knew, I guess, would happen. I don't know why I was like, we have 3 of this one, and then we're going to have a new type for the Believe. believe, but I'm excited to see what they do with a fourth crack at this ship, because I do think, which you know if you listened to the episode, that I do think the Disney Destiny feels different from the other two Wish-class ships, and I'm really interested to see what they do to differentiate them with this ship. Now, I got this information from a press release to my inbox when I was like careening through the canyons in LA. I was like going down cold water, driving like, oh, I could hear birds chirping. There were trees everywhere. Stop at a red light, check my phone and scream because I didn't put it together that this news was coming while I was just driving across town. In the press release, they say that this ship will be, this is me paraphrasing the quotes, will be filled with the powerful stories of Disney characters who believe in themselves and their dreams and the promise and possibility of a better tomorrow. Does equality exist on the Disney Believe? I like that. Ooh, promise and possibility of a better tomorrow. I like looking towards a better future. That's somewhere that I'm finding comfort in these days. This ship will bring to life the worlds of Encanto and Frozen, the wishing wells, interesting, of Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, and the depths of the sea with Moana and the Little Mermaid like never before. No specifics have really been unveiled about who will be in which space, especially if it is a Wish-class ship. We already kind of know where things are going to go, but I'm very curious to find out. The Snow White lingo, wishing wells, makes me think that either the atrium is going to be a Snow White atrium, which, ooh, I would love that. But I'm kind of like, if we're talking about wishing wells, maybe it'll be the pool. Like, maybe it'll be that splash area with the buckets. Like, that'll be Snow White themed, which would also be so rad. In terms of, you know, the one theatrical style restaurant, I am praying that is Encanto. Please! Like, that space would rock so hard with an Encanto theme. But honestly, I'm gonna throw a wild card in there. I am praying that we get rid of a Marvel restaurant and then we swap it with Frozen. We don't need four Marvel restaurants. When the ships came out, it felt like so important to have them there. I'm good. I'm kind of good. I think that having more themed dining on the ship would actually be a really great thing. I think it would be very cool. In this press release, I was reminded, because I completely forgot, that cruises are coming to Japan in 2029. So keep that in mind. There is a chance that in the future, you can go and do your Tokyo Disney trip in the future. It's a few years away. Do your Tokyo Disney trip and then do a Disney Cruise Line sailing while you are there. Oh my gosh, I'm already, gosh, we're so lucky. We are so lucky. People used to wait so long for a new ship and now we just get them all the time. Oh, it's a really good time to be a Disney fan. Anyway, that was the majority of the Disney Cruise Line news. I don't really cover executives whenever possible because I don't want to do it. But I mean, Josh is now running the show. Bob has, I guess, effectively retired. I keep expecting him to come back and be like, but wait, there's more. Kind of like Becky does in those segments. But this is it. Like, Bob coming back that one time really, I was like sitting on the couch shaking. I remember texting with Scott Gustin being like, ah, what is happening? Am I in a coma? Is this real? And so like now I keep being like, but is Bob coming back? But I guess like this is it, right? But Josh is in charge. And it's, I don't know, I find it kind of exciting. It feels a little like your classmate from freshman year is becoming the class president. You know what I mean? He was a parks guy for so long, and now he is running the show. I think he's going to do a great job. I really don't have much to say. It's kind of like we've seen him work for a while now, and I expect the same from the top. It's kind of nice to just be like, that dude knows how to take care of parks. So I have faith. I have faith. Thomas Maslam, who was at Disney Cruise Line, then Disneyland Resort, which was really exciting to have him there, is now taking over Josh's job, which I also think he will do an excellent job of that. It's just nice that, like, things feel devoid of chaos right now, you know? And that's just a nice place to be as a Disney fan. And while the next thing I'm going to talk about does live in the space between our first two categories, I guess we'll just formally kick off the things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about segment by talking about Bluey. I saw Bluey and Pingo at Disneyland, which feels, it's so interesting because it feels so aligned. It feels so normal and so correct that you can see Bluey and Pingo at Disneyland. But then you zoom out and it's like, oh, people have been consuming Bluey content all day, every day for years. And there was no way to see them at the parks like this. Like, it feels like it's been there forever. And yet there is the excitement of it being brand new at the exact same time. I think it is a perfect partnership. I think it is such a good addition to Disneyland. And I really, 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 really hope we can incorporate Bluey and Bingo going forward across Disney parks in an even bigger way than they have planned. Just because I'm recording this on Monday. I went to the preview on Saturday and Sunday, you know, the day after the preview, it was very, very busy. Bluey and Bingo were in high demand. And yeah, it was the first time these world famous characters had appeared at Disneyland. That makes sense. But I don't know what it's going to look like in the months going forward. There is no end date to this entire activation, which happens at Fantasyland Theater at Disneyland Park. It is supposed to run, according to my colleague, Todd Martins from the LA Times, there's no end date, it's supposed to run through spring and summer. At least, I suppose. It is a question I meant to ask when I was there, but I'll tell you. Doing your job while also being on mom duty was complicated. It was hot. Pearl was just not having it that day. And if you have a kid, you know what I mean. Sometimes it's like there are some off days where things don't go great. And I'm never one who's going to force her into anything. And so she had a really hard time kind of getting out the door, had a really hard time like even getting in the gate at the park. We also have a routine where we like go to the parking lot, we park, we walk, we take the monorail in. I find taking the monorail in, even though you have to collapse your stroller, barf, it's just easier because it bypasses the whole line of the front gate. It just makes it easier to like boop right in. So this time we went all the way to the front. We were checking in for the event. We had to take a photo for her ticket. It didn't go great. So we came in with a little bit of chaotic energy, the opposite of the leadership at Disney right now. Like we just came in being a little bit of a hot mess, literally and figuratively. And so I did my best to like report on what was happening. I think I got all the essential details. I got a feel for what the entire event is, but it was a little touch and go there for a minute. You will probably not see a food review from me because it is just a video of me sweating bullets, eating food, being like, this is a potato, and just like trying to get everything done at once. So again, that's why I didn't really get all my questions answered because I was juggling both. I'm realizing that is something I am not good at. It's like if I'm on mom duty, if I'm at Disneyland with Pearl, that is like I'm there in a mom capacity. If she doesn't want to be there, we leave. If she's hungry, we abandon everything we're doing. We got to get out of line. Totally fine. Like even though I'm in a place that I tangentially work at, I am mom first, and that is most important. But here it was like, oh no, it's work first, but it's also, it was a Bluey family event, and it was like both things at once, and it was just a little hard to juggle. So we made it work. My husband came with. He mostly took care of Pearl. He is so good at being a dad, and I am so grateful because I could not have done this without him. But once the show started, it was really delightful. Like the show was fantastic. We obviously were there for a media preview. It was emptier. There was more room to move around. I don't want to lean too much into like, wow, we just like freely danced around because I don't know what the situation is going to be going forward. If you're used to seeing the kind of like Disney Junior show, I'm blanking on the actual name of it right now, over at DCA, you are used to, you know, sitting cross-legged and scooched up, kind of cramped in with other people. I don't love that. I want to be standing. I want to be dancing. Like, this experience really reminded me and taught me that one of my favorite things in the world is just to be at a live show with my kid, jumping up and down and dancing. Like, that is so fun to me. And so we got to do that a little during this. That was great. But it's kind of harder to do that when people are sitting behind you and trying to see. I know, and again, we are reporting on this from like one day of the Bluey show, which will be daily, and I'm sure the weekday crowds will be better. They will be so locked in so soon, I am sure. But I know the first day it was a lot of that sitting cross-legged, and I don't prefer that. I prefer to be able to stand, to move around, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the big takeaway, there's two big takeaways from Bluey arriving at Disneyland. And remember, it's not just like they're throwing Bluey and Bingo on stage. This is a full show, live entertainment. Honestly, incredible actors and dancers on stage. They were doing so much and like really rounding out the show and making it so good. The area feels themed. There are these big objects. There's like so many references to the show. Troubadour Tavern has a Bluey menu overlay. There's a Pizza Girl's Baked Potato. There's a Mud Cake Cold Brew. There's a lot of yummy foods. Beware of the asparagus, the magic asparagus pretzel. If you didn't see my video on Instagram, just beware. Just beware. There's nothing like, you know, taking a little selfie video with your kid and then watching bright green goo dribble out of her mouth. It was like what you expect when someone becomes a zombie. We won't be getting that one again. The food dye levels were dialed all the way up. But anyway, there's two big takeaways from the show. One is that this was the correct way to bring Bluey and Bingo to the park. Full stop. I was a little, not bitter, but a little judgmental of the fact that Bluey and Bingo would not have a traditional character meet and greet because, duh, everyone's kid wants to meet Bluey and Bingo. But what they've done is essentially figure out how they can get the maximum amount of time that families can spend with these characters while also making sure that they wait the least. Like, that is a large amphitheater space. A lot of people can fit in there, and a lot of people can experience Bluey and Bingo in this live environment that isn't just them being like, we're here, and then walking away. Like, it truly is entertaining. It is a robust show. There are so many references to the actual series if you happen to watch it. And I just thought it was really great. It was way better than a meet and greet. And like, I think they did a fantastic, fantastic job with the show. The other thing, which we're going to echo a little bit of last week's episode here, okay? The other thing that I'm going to emphasize is what this proved to me and what other people have been talking about. And I want to just agree with them and echo their sentiments as well, which is that we need more live entertainment like this at Disneyland Resort. The positive reaction to this is proof. And may I add, we need more live entertainment like this at Disneyland Resort that is not in the blaring sun, okay? I love a parade. I love a cavalcade, but I'm not going to be there from the months of March all the way through September. I'm not going to do it. I cannot handle standing in the direct heat to try to squint and see a float. Not for me. However, it's almost like if they had this really big building in one of their parks that was, you know, filled with seating, happened to have a stage and lighting and was like really set up for production that people could just come into and watch a show during the day. It's almost like we would really enjoy that. As park goers, we would really enjoy that. If, say, something like the Hyperion Theater would reopen, we would really enjoy that, okay? And I'm sorry I'm so upset, but again, I had to take my child on a cruise, which, I didn't want to do it anyway. But I had to take my child on a cruise to see a Frozen musical because that was the easiest way to see a Frozen musical was to go out to the ocean to see it because they won't reopen the Hyperion, okay? Like, guys, let's just reopen the Hyperion. Just put a show up there. I guarantee people will spend more time in the parks. They will probably spend more money. They will surely buy merch. It is a good idea all around. I just think if they reopen the Hyperion, everybody would be a lot happier and it would give people a chance to cool off and enjoy live entertainment. And like, I don't know, maybe they would enjoy a seated show so much that they would go spend more money on Lion King on Broadway or go see other things. Please, please just reopen the Hyperion from the parent of a child who came home with a full-blown Elsa costume that she bought at the mall. Please do us a favor and reopen the Hyperion. That is all. But Bluey and Bingo rocks, totally rocks. I'm really glad they did this, and I hope it, honestly, I hope it stays forever. I love having something in there, and I know, like, people loved other things that have existed in that space before, but I really think it's, like, because Bluey and Bingo aren't fully, even though they were on, like, an episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse or something like that, I like that they're, once you step over to that Fantasyland theater area, which is kind of closed off, like, that's Bluey space, that's Bluey land, and I really like the way that that resonates in the park. Now, before I stop gabbing about Bluey, I do just want to mention, I am still not over Olaf. And I meant to make a video about it, and I never did, and it's like on my to-do list. We'll see if I get around to it. But I don't know if I mentioned this before. I got a call the day before. I was at the doctor, and I got a text or an email from one of my PR people that was like, give me a call. And it's like, oop, if they're sending me that email, something's going down. Something big is happening. So I'm like truly checking in on the kiosk at the hospital to see my doctor. And I call them and I'm like, what's up? What's going on? You truly, like, I've gotten those calls and it's been like, you ready to go to Shanghai? Like, anything can happen from those kind of calls. And so I pick up the phone and basically like someone being like asking me if I want to be like the star of a musical. They were like, would you like to come to Imagineering and meet Olaf tomorrow? And I was like, you bet I would. I will clear my schedule for Olaf. And that's exactly what I did. And it was so cool. It's crazy that I was so close to Olaf that, like, if my lipstick touched him, I would have stained him. They let me that close to him. I will never get over it. I will never, ever get over that. That was so, so freaking cool. All right, on to other things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about. And there are a lot of things that are like front of mind, but I can't really discuss them yet. Not really in a cryptic way. They're just like still in the oven and it's not time. It's not ready, but we will discuss them soon. But I personally have been trying really hard to be out and about more than I have in recent times. And I'm really struggling at finding this sense of a middle ground. I just constantly feel like mentally, I'm a Sims character who's walking into a wall, you know? Like, I can't seem to just get everything to align. I just want I keep getting stuck between these two worlds of things that I want. Like, for example, dichotomy would be the word. Like, the dichotomy between wanting to be with my kid more and wanting to be doing my job more. I promise this is not going to be an episode all about being a parent. I promise. Like, another one is that I really want to sit at home, be in my office, no distractions, and focus and work and get things done. I want to not feel overwhelmed by things on my to-do list. Like, I want to just get things done. But then I also want to be outside and feel the sunshine on my face and roll down the windows and feel the breeze and have an empty day, have like 6 hours in front of me on a Tuesday where nothing's going on. And I think a lot of this back and forth is like kind of yin and yang existence. I'm sure a lot of it is ADHD. I'm sure everything I do and say and breathe and consume is ADHD based. Like, my brain works differently from a lot of other people. Maybe not so many here because we are, a lot of us are pretty similar, but I just, like, I don't know. I feel like while I have the medication I need and, like, I'm doing pretty well, I'm getting things done. My desk is messy, but, like, I'm not that behind on emails. I'm not, like, running late to everything the way I used to. I used to be, like, 20 minutes late to everything. I didn't know where my keys were. I would have, like, a meltdown leaving the house. I'm not like that anymore. I'm functioning probably better than I ever have before, but I really don't feel like I have a top-level grip on what that all means. I'm always doing these little tasks at night, like little leftover bibs and bobs of work. And I can't figure out, is that the way I'm programmed? Is that just the sign of a person who has a very full life between like work and responsibilities and a social life and like a well-rounded existence? Like, is it normal to send yourself email reminders to thank friends for birthday gifts for your child and then to set more reminders and then never actually do it, which I'm realizing I set the reminder yesterday afternoon and I was supposed to do it last night and I didn't do it yet. So we will be doing that after we record this. Like, do most people have to set alarms to change their laundry? I don't know, but it's just the way I am. And I'm trying really hard to just kind of like accept the fact that like, this is the thing I get stuck with, is that I have the gross benefit of being in charge of architecting my life. I am in charge of making my own schedule because I am someone who doesn't think linearly. I'm not someone who can work in an office. Like, I've done it before and I've distracted everyone and I've made everyone's life worse because I just want to hang out and I can't stop gabbing and I have too much fun. But like, now that I work from home, I have to be the person in charge of that. And I'm just kind of struggling with it lately because I've been like scheduling everything in. And then like, it's hard to be spontaneous and my brain kind of needs that. But I am trying to let that go. Today is an example. I spontaneously met up with two friends this morning. I met up with one at a coffee shop at 8:30 and then we took Pearl to school together. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, I had something to give to a friend. And she was like, oh, just meet me for coffee after my workout class. And so I met her at like 9:30, like truly right after. We hung out for an hour and usually that's my like, gotta get home and record time. But everything's gonna be fine. What's going to happen if I miss something? I'm still going to record when I get home. It's all going to be fine. And so there were a few things I wanted to go to last week, and they were technically during the time that I would schedule to work. But as a, you know, a good employee and a bad boss, good employee, I blew off work for a few hours, and it was freeing. Ooh, it was freeing. There is this brand that I followed online forever. I've never bought their stuff because I'm very picky about like sizing and how things feel and how things fit and materials, neurodivergent, clearly. And so this brand called La Veste, I think they were a Spanish brand. They were doing this pop-up at a house in Beverly Hills. And you just like DM them for the address. They tell you the address. You show up and it's like in a living room of an elegant home. And you just like try on clothes in a spare bedroom or in the bathroom, like a cutie little bathroom. You just like try on pants and that's it. And then if they fit, you buy them. I thought it was going to be like you like try them on and then they're for sale in a few months. No, they were like, you can bring those pants home today. So I bought a pair of pants. Ah! And it's just so wild. Like, I bought a pair of pants because I saw it in like the mirror in like an outdoor patio and was like, I guess these work. And they're like, okie doke. And then I just bought pants. Is that how people are buying clothes? Inside fancy people's homes? I don't know. These pants were not that expensive. They were not cheap, but they were not like, I think they were $170, which is a lot of money for pants. However, I thought this is what people do when clothes cost $3,000. I was not expecting it to be a price that is like cheaper than Alice and Olivia at Bloomingdale's. You know what I mean? And I have so few pairs of pants, So I am in dire need of pants. So it was like, okay, we're getting a task done. We were buying some really cool striped, unique pants, small brand, woman owned, felt like the right investment. And I don't know. Now these pants are on the way and it feels like it was all a fever dream. It was so cool. And then after that, I just drove across LA, down Mulholland with the windows down, trees everywhere. It was really blissful. It was really blissful. And so I think I need to bring balance into my life and really find ways to like seek out that little spontaneous joy like I did today and like I did last week. And it was really, really nice. And the reason I bring this up is because there's something I'm trying to do more that I feel like other people could relate to. I am just being more conscious of the fact that I chose to live here. Like I chose to live in Los Angeles and I'm kind of, I guess you'd say I'm resting on my exploration laurels. Like there is so much to explore in my city, so much to explore in any city. And I often just don't do it. You know, when you see something online, maybe it's like a local TikTok or Instagram feed. Maybe it's like someone reporting on a new restaurant and you're like, oh, that looks cool. And then you never think of it again. I don't know if you also do this. You bookmark it, you send it to someone you live with, you send it to friends, and you're like, we should go to this. And then you never do. I hate doing that. And I do it all the time. I'm constantly like, oh, we should all go to this. And we're all like, yeah. And then it just doesn't happen. And I'm trying so hard to break free of that pattern. I'm trying so, so hard because there's like this endless amount of things to do now that people are posting about everything. Like I keep being like, oh, one day I'll drive there. Oh, one day I'll do it. And I feel like those random drives and kind of quick day trips, like quick half day trips, never really get accommodated unless they are on the calendar. And I feel like my job right now is to encourage you to do just that because I know it is not just me feeling this way. I posted a video last week after my cruise about this place that I stopped for the world's best chocolate chip cookie, which I also like, I view Gideon's in a category of its own. So like Gideon's, please don't be offended. It is this cookie at this place called Fox Point Farms. I think that's the name of it. It's in Encinitas, California. It's right by kind of like Legoland. It's on the way to San Diego if you're driving from LA. And we discovered this place because I don't even know how I saw a TikTok ages ago, truly years ago. And I was just like, ooh, I got to go there one day. And then this drive came and I was like, Ben, we have to stop on the way back from the cruise when we went to the San Diego last year. We stopped, blown away by the chocolate chip cookie, haven't stopped talking about it, haven't stopped thinking about it. And so I was like, you know what? They have really good coffee. I could use a coffee. I'm in charge. I'm driving Pearl. And we went both on the way to the cruise and on the way back. And what shocked me is that I knew locals were going to turn up in the comments. I was expecting everyone to be like, how did I miss you? I'm here every Friday. Or like, oh my gosh, I love it there. That's not what happened. There were half dozen, maybe more people commenting, oh my gosh, this is right by me and I've never been. And this keeps happening to all of us. Like this destination that I truly got in the car and drove for over 2 hours, giddily excited to go to this place. This place, like, oh, I'll tell you about it in a second. It is amazing. People live nearby and they haven't been. And they're just like, oh, I've been meaning to go there. So this is all of our assignment for the month. We're going to try to find a place that we want to go to that we never really find time for. Put it on the calendar. We're going to make it happen. I'm going to encourage you to do it. You got to encourage me because I got to figure out there's so many places I want to go. We got to do it because there's so much out there left to be explored. Now, Fox Point Farms, if you happen to live near this place, the best way I can explain it is going to be a reality show in 3 years. It's like, here, I'm going to look it up because there's so much I want to tell you. Okay, so Fox Point Farms. So it is essentially a living community. Like there's a lot of new builds there. But then in the center, they have a working farm. They have a brewery. They have a farm shop. They have a restaurant. And I feel like there's more. There's maybe like a yoga studio or something. But I've only really gone to the farm shop and hung out. Oh, wait, Hatch Gatherings. What is that? Oh, that's just like the brand of everything. Wait, I'm missing one. Oh my God, they have a coffee roastery? Oh my God. Okay, I was telling you, this place is like, it is like a millennial hipster heaven. It is incredible. I saw like this very stylish woman. There's not really like a playground. There's more like a big log that kids can play on that's a slide. Obviously, we played on it. This is like the most wonderful place to bring a child. I can't sell it enough. So I was like by the log slide with Pearl. There were some other kids there. And this like chic, chic woman was like, we're closed on our house today. We can't wait to move here. And I think it's just all young parents living next to a freaking farm. Incredible. Anyway, Pearl and I had to charge my car. P.S. Don't charge your car there. We got 8 miles in 2 hours. Not ideal for a drive home. However, worth it because it gave me an excuse to stay and do the farm tour. I think the farm tour was maybe $8 a person, maybe like $15 a person, whatever it was worth every penny because we did the farm tour. It's like every half hour. We walked through the fields. The lovely person who worked on the farm showed us the different plants, then showed us these like lettuce and greens that they make and was like, feel free to pluck one out of the ground. My kid gets to pluck one out of the ground. And then the rest of the tour, what was it? Feeding the fresh greens to all of the animals that they have. They have so many animals. We got to feed like lettuce to like a cow, a potbelly pig. I got to feed lettuce to a horse. What? They also have a Highland cow, which was so soft and so fluffy. It was amazing. It was amazing. And this is just in the backyard of a bunch of people in California, and they just have to go to it. So let my tale be an inspiration to you that we are going to collectively try harder to do exciting things near us. Just one this month, because I know that I need the push. And if any of you need it too, I am here for you as well. We're going to take a quickie little break, and we will be right back with some more Gabs-ish. There's a lot of philosophies out there telling you how you should pack for a trip. Ooh, a capsule wardrobe. Ooh, patterns that function as basics. No, no, I am done with people telling me what to wear because I'm doubling down on a new kind of travel philosophy. I'm just gonna wear whatever I love wearing at the moment. Is my suitcase a little chaotic? Maybe to an outsider, but I am blissfully happy once I get to my destination because I have the wacky dress, the unexpectedly fancy outfit, and the casual comfies I crave when I crave them. And there is nowhere else I need to go to make those looks possible but Quince. No matter what you're looking for, Quince has the essential pieces to make your wardrobe sing. The fabrics are elevated, the fits are flattering, and everything works without overthinking it. I love Quince because, well, first of all, they're using incredible premium materials. And by cutting out the middleman, you're paying 50 to 80% less than similar brands at a price point that just feels right. All without sacrificing quality. The most versatile item I own and the most used item in my wardrobe is, as you know, my Quince bike shorts. I wore them with a cropped t-shirt when I was on my recent Dollywood trip. I also wore them with an oversized black sweater and felt very classy to have this like black on black, like chic, off-duty look. They truly took me from tourist attractions to Buc-ee's to the airport, but I also dressed them up with like a little cutie tunic on top when I'm on a beach vacation or under a shorter dress to make a dress work with flats if that's all you got in your suitcase. I truly believe every piece at Quince can be that item that makes your whole wardrobe make sense. And wearing whatever I love at the moment just always seems to include something from Quince. Refresh your everyday with luxury you'll actually use by heading to quince.com/amusing for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/amusing for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/amusing. Welcome back. I goofed. I went to break too early because we are very much still in our things I've done lately that I want to chat with you about section. And we're just going to get back right back into it. Oops. I usually like to do that and then have a clean break between the two and then the two. But that's not what's happening. And it's totally fine. Like I said, it's going to be totally fine. Some other stuff I've done. I went to a different neighborhood in LA I never go to again. Felt really nice to be somewhere I'm not usually at. Also underestimated how many famous people are just flopping around in Brentwood. Whoopsies. Didn't think about it. I went to this restaurant Farm Shop with Pearl for her like one of her birthday breakfasts because basically I kept her out of school because there was a stomach flu going around. So we needed activities to fill the time. And so I went to this place, Farm Shop. They're kind of an LA institution. I think they provide pastries to a lot of different places around LA. But let me tell you, if you're in LA and you want to see famous people, go to Farm Shop on a Friday before 11:30 because they're all there. They're all roaming around. They're all there. And I guess it was pre-Oscars, but still, they are just everywhere. There's a local bookstore there that I picked up another copy of Rebecca Searle's book because it was signed. I wanted a signed copy. I know I could ask her. I don't know. Is it weird to like ask a friend when you're in their house to be like, sign my book? I don't know. But I wanted to buy one from the store. It just felt more special to like buy an exclusive signed one from Diesel Books. Ooh. And I, for Pearl's birthday gift, I bought her a bunch of new books, which was also like buying myself a present because I didn't realize, I thought, you know, when you're a parent and there's a bookshelf full of books, you chose them all. But that is not the case. They are often gifts. They just kind of wind up in your house randomly. And a lot of the books are ones I have not chosen. And then every night I'm reading something and I'm like, really, we got to read this? We got to read this. I don't want to read the book. I don't want to read this book. But I got to choose some and I got some really cool ones. Books now? Beautiful. Children's books? The illustrations, the stories? Oh, beautiful. It was just really nice to be in control of my destiny, I suppose. I did finally eat at Max and Helen's. I know that there were some people in the family that had asked about it. It was having a huge moment when they opened in Larchmont or in Hancock Park in Los Angeles. It is Phil Rosenthal's restaurant with his daughter, Lily. I guess it's both of theirs. Maybe it's more Lily's. I don't know. I don't know where that line falls. I am here to say that, yep, the rumors about the hot chocolate are true. It is absolutely psychotic. It is the most chocolatey thing you've ever tasted in your entire life. I got it for Pearl and I. She was not interested. I don't know why. The whole top was like marshmallow, which she loves. Not interested. But I ate a ton of it and it was delicious. If you like hot chocolate, check it out. Also, they were like public for like, oh, their lines are down the block. Oh, you can't get in. And while I'm sure that's still true on weekends and stuff, I went on like a Wednesday morning, walked right in. There was a table. I mean, it was busy. There was only like two tables open, but there were tables. So check that out. And if you are in LA anytime soon, I'm going to recommend you go to Squirrel for dinner. Squirrel, a lot of people have heard of them because there was a jam controversy. Yes, the moldy jam, we all know. But honestly, the food there is so good that I don't care. I don't care about what happened there before because it is dialed in and it is fantastic. Now, I think I've raved about their regular like breakfast lunch food before. They basically originated this pesto rice bowl. They're not the first people to ever put rice in a bowl. Trust me, I'm not going to say something as stupid as that, but it's this like pesto rice bowl. I've seen other people do a similar version of this specific one, but like their pesto rice bowl is so good. It is so, so good. And they just started serving dinner. I have been three times since they opened about 6 weeks ago. It is quickly emerging as my favorite dinner restaurant in LA because is it near me? No. Is it easy to get to? Also, no. But I love it because it hops this fence between being so casual while still feeling like a nice night out. I don't need like a fancy booth and a fancy waiter and like the whole thing, but I love good service and I love good food. And I don't want to be spending any money on a dish that isn't delicious, period. That's why I don't love like going out a lot, trying new places sometimes. Like, I don't want to waste money being like, this is not worth it, which happens a lot. But here, I have my order dialed in. You're kind of like on the sidewalk. You're having great food. The wait staff is very Midwestern. There is a waiter who, there was like, I think like a tree stump or something. There was something that they tripped over. And they tripped over whatever this was next to our table. And then they apologized to me. And I was like, did you just apologize to me for you tripping? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, I've never felt more home anywhere in LA. And I mentioned it to someone who works there and they're like, oh yeah, we have like four Minnesotans. And I'm like, that makes sense. Like all I want is just like really friendly waiters and like a really tasty non-alcoholic drink. The Alpine Spritz is so good. It tastes like traveling, but you're in LA. And if you want a drink, they have a tiny martini. So if you just want a little bit of alcohol, best of both worlds. If you go, highly recommend the chicken. Fantastic. The steak, also really great. The Caesar salad has croutons. I also had another salad last time that was like beans and blue cheese. And it gave me a tummy ache, but it was so worth it. And you're not going to get a tummy ache. It's because of my tummy stuff. Their French fries are fantastic. What else? The bread with like a Jimmy Nodello butter. Ooh, it's just really great. And then the Madeleines for dessert. That's the only dessert I've had. I've had it like three or four times. Great, great, great. Highly recommend. And last but not least, I sound like I've really been out and about. But I wanted to talk to you about, okay, so I went to a Wrangler party and it's so hilarious to me because I had the time of my life as I always do at a Wrangler event. Shout out to the person who invites me to these. I'm very grateful, but it's hilarious because I'm never like out in the world presenting myself as an influencer, but then sometimes I will attend things where I'm like, oh, I guess I am. And I am with other ones. And I don't want to like call myself old, but I see people go to stuff like this every night and I don't know how they have the stamina. A lot of people go to these events every night and I'm shocked by it because, okay, there's also what I've learned from like a few friends who are kind of like in this sphere is that there's like, okay, I don't know if people know this. There is a secret like underground economy of people who get paid to go to parties. Now, I don't know if anyone was paid to go to this one. I was not. I was like, oh, you're going to give me pants if I show up, like jeans from a brand that I love. And you're going to like have me come hang out. And you're going to give me a taco if I'm hungry. Yes, I will be there. But like people get paid to go to these parties, which I don't think is, it's not really like disclosed. It's not, they'll be like, oh, I'm at brand, like this brand's party. And like, I think, are all those people paid? I don't know. I think people are being sent Uber gift cards all the time to like get there and back. But I think people are like paid to go to events. And I don't think everyone knows that. Again, I don't know if people get paid to go to the Wrangler one. I don't want to get in trouble. I don't know. I was not. But people get paid. I only once have gotten paid. And I don't even think we talked about this. I did a partnership with Dole for, oh gosh, there was a real kookaloony way they phrased it. Dole packaged frozen product. It was like, remember when they were selling the Dole Whip and like the individual cups, which I loved, by the way, that mango one. Ooh. I did a partnership with them. And part of the partnership was that they paid me to like, and appear like they paid, like part of the deal was like, I had to go to the party and post from the party. Like they paid me to go to the party. And so that kind of made my brain go, wait, if I'm getting paid to go here, is everyone getting paid to be at this Dole party? And I overheard some people say that they were. Like the whole party is people, not who like attended, but like people who are paid some sort of appearance fee. Isn't that crazy? I'm just excited to leave the house, dude. Like, also, I don't go to anything that I'm not already a fan of. And like my background is, you know, as a magazine person. And like when you're in a magazine, they really want you to come to events. They want you to come out because they want you to post about your stuff in the magazine or like write a story about it on the website. Me, I'm just me. And like, it's just weird. Like, oh, everyone's just here to be like, I'm here. I'm associating with the brand. And like, that's, I think people are getting paid for parties. And that's crazy to me. I hope this is blowing your mind as much as it is me. Even though I'm someone who has had it done to them, it still blows my mind. I went to this party though, and this is how wild this party is. You show up, it's so cute. There's live music. Everyone's adorable. I was like, everyone's working there and like wearing full Wrangler. Like, oh, I love Wrangler. And they're basically like dressing rooms and racks of adorable clothes. And this is, it sounds like a fever dream, but you show up and you try stuff on and they're like, pick out three things you like, come to the desk, tell us what they are and we'll mail it to you. Ah! So I think a lot of this is intended to be going to a festival, Stagecoach probably specifically, Coachella, stuff like that. We are in California. Those festivals are near us and a lot of people go. If I'm standing out in the boiling sun, Mickey Mouse is going to be within 50 yards of me. Like I'm not going to Coachella. Okay. I would go to Coachella for Bob Baker Marionettes. That's the only artist I would ever go to see there. Count me out. Ben goes alone. He goes for the day, drives back. If he has to go to Coachella or Stagecoach to see someone, I'm not there. Okay. My body cannot handle the heat like that. I am an old woman. I was literally Googling how to put a camelback bladder into a Bagu bag to be in Florida this summer. Like I can't. Okay. I don't have it in me, but I am going to Dollywood. I am going to Dollywood as much as the crazy TSA lines want to keep me from it. I am determined to go to Dollywood. We have it planned for next month. It is going to happen. But I went, and I think everyone's getting like cutie little outfits for festivals. I'm getting cutie little outfits to like walk uphill to go on a roller coaster. And I'm so excited with what I got. I posted a video, but I got the patterned, it's like patterned vest and shorts. There was a cute little a little denim vest and skirt, which was so cute. But it was like very going out. And I kind of need something that I can be in maybe during the day without like the shadow of night covering me. So I got the little shorts and like those I can wear. That little denim mini skirt I can't wear by itself. Like I bend over, my whole butt's out. So because I like to wear things really high up. I think you could wear it lower easily, but I like to wear things in my under rib natural waist. So it was just a little short on me, but I got the shorts and the vest. And then I got, you ready for this? White bell bottoms. Oh, white bell bottoms, the perfect item to wear on an adult trip. Like, ooh, we're going out. Ooh, I get to wear my white belly bottoms, white bell bottoms. I'm so excited. I might actually buy the denim set. I might end up buying the other Wrangler set because it was just so good. And I'm trying to not get anything that's too Dolly specific. I don't like to buy things specifically for an occasion. I don't like to buy a dress to go to a certain wedding. I don't like to, oh, I'm going on vacation, I have to buy new clothes. I want my clothes to just be in my closet year round. And if the weather permits, I wear them. So having these jeans is going to be fantastic. We did all buy one t-shirt collectively among the group that we're going to wear to Dollywood. But otherwise, like, oh, it was just such a lovely night. I went straight from working out to like changing there to going to a party, which made me feel like it was 2018 all over again. It was really nice. It was really nice. And thank you, Wrangler, for having me. I was not paid to say that. I was not paid to, now I have to disclose, like, I was not. But like, the next time you scroll your feed and you see someone at a party, just keep that in the back of your mind. Isn't that wild? It's wild. I think that's mostly everything. The only other, I don't really have much coming up besides Dollywood, but I am going to be covering Universal Fan Fest. We have not talked about this much on the podcast. We didn't cover it last year. And honestly, I'm not sure what capacity we're going to cover it in this year, because I basically kept telling my PR contact at Universal, listen, this is just a, this is a real clue into how honest I am with my work contacts, okay? Because they kept being like, we have this really exciting new event. And I kept being like, not interested. I cover theme parks. Like, I can't help myself from being honest, okay? But I just kept being like, it's not for me. It's not authentic to me. It's not for me. I don't want to go. Last year's was like Back to the Future. I think some other, maybe a Pokemon, stuff like that. I was like, none of these properties interest me. I'm good. And so I didn't go. I think I was out of town the first night and I could have gone any other night. And I was like, I'm good. It's not authentic to me. I'm not interested. So it rolled back around and we talked about it more. And I'm kind of like, okay, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, maybe I should at least be boots on the ground to see what it is. Because while the fandoms and the activations are not my go-to, I don't know what One Piece is. And I'm okay not knowing going forward. But what I was told is that it's kind of like the whole park feels like Halloween Horror Nights, but without a scary vibe. And that interests me. It seems like it might have this like party at the mall after hours vibes. Like, you can wear costumes, you can dress up, you can represent your fandom, which is something I'm very into. And it kind of feels like, I don't know, it just feels a little to me, the way I'm thinking in my brain, if it feels like this, then I will go back every year. But even if it doesn't, I will never go back. But it feels a little like, you know, the way a school gym transforms for a dance on a Friday night when you're in seventh grade? That's what I think this is going to feel like. And I want to see that, what it's like to be walking around like among the fan-filled crowds. I want to see that when I go to it. So we are going to see it. While J.K. Rowling is the devil incarnate, we do not respect J.K. Rowling. There is a very interesting Wizarding World of Harry Potter experience I was tipped about that I'm going to have to see firsthand. I don't think it's public yet, so I don't want to say anything, but it seems very, very, very cool. And it debuts April 23rd as part of the event. They're going to have Sailor Moon this year. Again, One Piece. I don't know. But I also am kind of like interested to go being like, I don't care about these wow me event. And I'm hoping it might. They also have Scooby-Doo, which at this point is going to be the closest we're going to get to a Sarah Michelle Gellar project in the flesh, because I'm still mad they didn't greenlight Buffy. Still mad about it. But I will come back and let you know. Their food is a big component to it. So I am going to go to a food tasting. Again, you know, I don't like temporary food, but I'm trying to go in with an open mind. I'm going to see what this is, since I fully shut it down last year and I should at least know what it is, because it seems like they're going to be bringing this back. And I have gotten questions about it, so I'm going to do my job and I would like to know how it is, and hopefully it's cool. But really, like, ooh, after hours mall vibe, right? Ooh, like going down the star way and like people being dressed up, but it's not scary on the escalator. Imagine like people in costumes, but it's not boo. Ooh, fun. And yeah, that's basically what I'm into. Moving on to the tireless pursuit of feeling good all the time. I'm not feeling good. We don't have to get into it. But basically, like, there is this line that happens when you get a little older where for a long time in your life, you take antibiotics and they make you feel better. And then you hit an age where you take antibiotics and they make you feel better and also worse because they destroy your stomach. And I had to go on them like 2-3 months ago. It was just like I had Pearl kept getting sick, so then I had something where I felt fine, but it was like I just needed to blast the rest out. anyway, I had to go on this antibiotic and it destroyed me from the inside out. It's fine. It's fine. I have been going to my doctor at the hospital a lot lately. It's just we're getting to the bottom of it. We don't really know what's going on. Thankfully, we don't think it's anything dire, but I would really love to eat a piece of bread without being concerned that I will be sick for a day. So we will see what happens. But boy, oh boy, am I on the cottage cheese train again. Like I said, I made this cottage cheese egg thing. Whew. I keep eating, like, for some reason, my stomach is mostly okay with cottage cheese. Yogurt is a no right now. Cottage cheese, I can tolerate it without getting too bad of a tummy ache. But I have that with berries and Purely Elizabeth granola. And Ben bought a really good honey, which is really nice on there. Also, is honey fine for you? I feel like, I don't know if you follow Glucose Goddess, but sometimes you, like, hear these things pop up about women's health and you're like, what? Nobody told me that. Like, I've told my mom this because she loves orange juice. Like, orange juice is so bad for you on an empty stomach. Like, bad. Because it, like, spikes your glucose and that's, like, really bad for your body. Like, it's just health-wise. It, like, ugh, like, your body's, like, trying to process it too quickly. I don't know. But there's this woman with an incredible accent, Jessie Inchappe, and she talks about glucose. Follow Glucose Goddess. Fascinating stuff. A little fear-mongery, but also, like, science I was not aware of. Like, if you freeze bread and then eat it, it's easier to digest. Stuff where you're like, what? But she understands science. I think she's, like, a molecular biologist. I don't know, but she's so chic. And she's wearing, like, little Miu Miu outfits, and she's teaching you science. It's basically, like, my version of, like, a children's science show, but it's, like, a chic woman being like, here's how to digest the food you love better. And that's all I'm interested in. I just want to eat all day, every day, all the things I like. She's very helpful for that. I have to see if she posts about honey, though, because, like, I don't know. Glucose-wise? I don't know. I have so much to learn about glucose. Anyway, my body, I have multiple things going on. It's hard. It takes me an abnormally long time to digest food out of nowhere. I've never had this problem before. It just kind of happened. We don't know why. So eating certain things, like, oh my God, like, if I had carrot sticks and hummus, it would, I'd be out for the count. Like, I wouldn't be able to move. I'd be in pain. So I'm trying to, like, keep a baseline of foods that I know I can eat. Thankfully, I'm never going to give up popcorn or coffee. And if they tell me to, I will just deal with it. It has all been okay. I started a homeopathic supplement, which I don't think has done anything. But yeah, I did recently. So when I was on the cruise, I was pretty careful. I did mess around a little. I had some soft serve. I was having some fun. And I felt mostly okay. I didn't feel great, but I didn't feel as bad as I did on the cruise last year, which was really the first time I was like, okay, we got to start seeing a doctor. I've been dealing with this for a year. I know. But anyway, I came home and was like, I felt pretty good on the cruise. Maybe it's over. Like, maybe I'm fine. And so I spent 2 days just eating whatever I wanted. I went out to a dinner with Ben. I had, like, a whole bowl of pasta. It was so good. We went to this place, Sal's Place, and I don't like pasta. Okay, don't hang up. I don't like pasta. It's a thing. I just find it usually boring. I don't like to have the same, can you tell I'm neurodivergent? I don't like to have the same bite over and over and over. My dream restaurant would be Pastapas, a place where you have, like, 6 different types of pastas and you have, like, 5 bites of each. You just get to try every flavor. I would love that. This pasta was insane. Truly, like, I was eating it being like, I know my body probably can't process this, but I'm not giving the plate back. I ate the whole thing. I was like, I don't, the future me will deal with it. And it did not digest. It was, like, all the way up to my chin, like, not moving my body. But, you know, we live and learn. I thought maybe I was okay and I wasn't. It's fine. But again, they will take popcorn and coffee from me. I'm literally drinking my 3rd coffee. They will pry it from my cold, frozen hands. And that's all I'm going to say. I hate drinking water. That's not news. It's almost summer and I'm worried for all of us who don't like to be hydrated, especially when, again, I love caffeine. But body-wise, yeah, things aren't great and it's fine. I also, like, I guess I'm teetering on the edge of, like, needing to take care of myself because I'm like, I don't want water. I only want coffee and I don't want to sleep. And that's really where I'm at mentally. Like, I came back from the cruise and the next weekend was Pearl's big birthday. It was her birthday. It was her birthday party. Just, like, making up for lost time of being, like, solo parenting for 4 days. We had a whole family in town. And so I, in a method to, like, find quiet and, like, alone time in a busy house, I did this thing that I invented where I stayed up very, very late. And I know it was not smart, but I basically was like, I'm going to stay up as late as I can and get as much done as I can. And until I fall over asleep, and I'm going to do this as many nights in a row until I can do it no more. And I did it for 3 or 4 nights. I called it fourth shift because basically it's like first shift is like waking up, getting everyone ready until there's school or there's childcare. Then second shift is work. Third shift, to anyone without kids, like, it's totally fine. Like, having a kid is totally chill. And then third shift is 5 or 6 or 4:30, whenever, like, the childcare school ends, up until bedtime. And then fourth shift is, like, after you finish all your nighttime stuff, that until bedtime. And so fourth shift, I just extended fourth shift all the way till about 2 a.m. And here's the thing. Burning the candle at both ends is a terrible idea. But, like, there's something to be said about drinking a magic liquid that keeps you awake and helps you get things done. Because I got everything done, guys. I got everything done. Like, Ben would go to bed. The house was quiet. I would just take my iPad, take my laptop, put in my little headphones, go to the living room. I would watch a few episodes of Will Trent, which, by the way, great show. I'd finish all my little tasks, all my little email tasks, all my little tasks, and just, I got everything done. Was I tired? Oh, you bet. Did I crash? Yeah. Yeah, I did. But it was the thing that got me through. And you know what? Sometimes you have to bend all the rules and not sleep to make it happen. And if you love sleep, don't worry about it. This is not for you. But if you don't, fourth shift, not bad. I don't need to keep talking to you about how much I love coffee, but I do. I love it so much. There's a million skincare things we have to get into. We'll do that next month because I know the Sephora sale is coming and I'm not buying anything if I know it's going to be on sale. But I guess that brings us to stuff I'm currently obsessed with. And I got to tell you, I have a uniform now. What? I have a uniform. Years ago, I listened to this podcast from this like efficient woman who's like, every day I wake up, I put on my tracksuit, I go out and get coffee. I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. I'm wearing my tracksuit. And I was so intrigued and like, oh, amazing. But that would never be me. I found my daily uniform. Do you want to hear what it is? So when I drop Pearl off, like when I, basically I have days, which some people who also probably work from home feel the same. You have days where like you leave the house, you got to be wearing pants. You got to be like wearing real clothes. When I'm at home, I am not wearing real clothes. When I'm in my neighborhood, I'm just hanging out. I have a uniform and it is my Quince shorts, which you know I love. That's not hyperbole. That's not hyperbole. I love those shorts. I just bought more of them. I actually purchased them. Yes, I do. I love them. Quince shorts. And then I started cutting off all of my big t-shirts because I had big t-shirt with shorts. And then I saw an Instagram post that was like making fun of moms who wear that. And I was like, but I like wearing this. But then I also didn't like the shirt was too long sometimes. And I kind of felt like I was just like a cloud. I was just existing like, brrr, like an amoeba in space. And so I cut the shirts to like just like right where the shorts are. And I've never felt more free and comfortable in my life. Like something about dressing like a 22-year-old modern dancer just like makes me feel like my feet are rooted in the ground. I just feel so correct. And so now I have 4 or 5 shirts in rotation. I wear that, sports bra, Quince shorts, fun socks, sneakers. Boom! That is my look. And I'm telling you right now, I'm warning you. If you think I'm going to be showing up Disney World this summer in some cutie little outfits, it's not happening. I will be wearing my Quince shorts and a little cotton t-shirt, and that's it, because it is too hot. It is too hot, and I'm going to wear it. And like, truly, what is the point of trying to get dressed? Like in winter, your fun little outfit that you like you put on, you're like, I feel good in this. It's going to be covered by a coat. Spring, you're going to put on your outfit and say, I feel good in this. And you're either going to be too hot in it, or it's going to be like cold and you need to put a jacket over. Ruins the point. In summer, I don't want to try in summer. I'm just going to sweat through everything. So why don't I wear clothes that are meant to be sweat in? And I know that's not like that. Ooh, not revolutionary, but I'm not a pop flex girly. Oh, how I wish I was. Oh, I wish I looked so cute in those little skirts. Everybody looks so cute in those little fitness skirts. Everyone looks amazing. It's just not me. It's just not me. And I wish it was because everyone looks so cool and so good. Unfortunately, all roads for me lead back to camp counselor. As long as I literally walked into a workout class and the instructor, because I'm always in the front. I got to be in the front. I got to be in the front or I can't focus. It's a whole, listen, you know me. I got into my workout class. She's like, oh, you look like a 70s camp counselor. And I was like, that is what I've been going for. It's the dream. It's the dream. And so that is just what I'm going to be wearing all summer. I just like to be... This is so embarrassing, guys. I like to be in clothing where I'm like, if you need me to run, I'm good. Like if a dog gets loose from a leash, I'm gone. Like that's what I want my clothes to provide me. And while I'm not like an adventurous person, I'm not like hiking the Tetons. I don't even know where the Tetons are because I'm a little stupid, but I want to be like boom, like ready to move, ready to move, ready if I have to like, boom, drop to the ground to grab something. I want to be ready. I don't want my clothes to restrict me. And ideally, when I put on clothes that I feel happy with, it feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. That is the goal when I get dressed. I don't want to look cute. I don't want to look any certain way. I just want to put clothes on and be like, everything fits and everything feels good and I don't have to think about it. If I'm not thinking about what I'm wearing, I am happiest. That is like, for me, that is the gold standard. And when I put on this outfit, oh, I am so happy. So get ready to see me wear the exact same thing for the next 6 months. And I'm totally fine with it. I wasn't joking about the camelback and a bagu thing. I will be experimenting with that. And I just bought a fan to clip on my bag. So I'm kind of like, I usually wear my Stony Clover Lane fanny pack, but I think I need a bigger bag. I need the bagu for the bladder, for the carry. The bladder is what you call like a hydration backpack water sack. That's what that's called. Anyway, okay, before we go, let's talk about TV because there is so much good TV happening right now that people are not really discussing. I finished Stumble. If you haven't watched Stumble, it took like 5 or 6 episodes to really start coming together. Oh my gosh, they did it. The end of the season, it is 13 episodes, which concerns me. I want them to get renewed. I don't know if they will. I really hope they do. I love this show. By the end, finale, incredible. Incredible. Like the show, if it feels slow at the beginning and you're like, I don't really know if this is for me, just keep watching. Just keep watching. It comes together so well. I'm obviously watching Ghosts. I'm watching Will Trent, which I mentioned. What else am I watching? I mean, I'm always watching Abbott Elementary. Elsbeth, even though I don't like knowing the crime at the beginning. I know that's the format of the show. I don't like it. I'm watching Matlock. Why? I don't know. It's a cul-de-sac show. They are just talking themselves in circles. Nothing's really happening. But I mean, Jason Ritter on screen, I will watch anytime. The show is like not fully gelled, but I'm still going to watch it anyway because that's how I am. I got to finish. High Potential, obviously. I'm also kind of obsessed with the High Potential outfits lately. I think we're supposed to look at her and be like, she dresses so wacky. She can't wear that to work. But I love her wardrobe. Like a patterned mini skirt with like bright knee-high boots and a fun top. It looks fun. I really like that. Ben and I think I've talked about this before. Ben and I don't have any shows that we both watch together, really. We have completely different tastes in television. I'm not watching Industry. I'm not sitting down for Love Story, okay? I get like enough of it through the ether. I don't need it. But we both kind of watch Paradise. Loved season 1 of Paradise. Season 2, I can recognize that the show is really good, but it's not exactly what I look forward to watching at like 8 p.m. at the end of the day. So we've been watching it together. I like a comedy. It's just how I am. I don't love a drama. But hot off the presses, because it just came out. If you are not watching the new season of Jury Duty, stop listening to my podcast and go to, I think it's on Amazon Prime. Go watch the new season of Jury Duty. Okay? It's Jury Duty Corporate Retreat. I don't know how they struck gold twice. It is so good. And if you have never seen the first season of Jury Duty, it is so good. It is an exceptional piece of television. I like truly can't get over it. And this season is a little more scripted, which I actually like because it feels more like a TV show. It kind of feels like you're watching like that episode of The Office where they go on the retreat and then like Pam like runs on the coals. It kind of feels like that, but quote unquote, not really reality. It is fantastic. There are 3 episodes out now. By the time you listen to this, there might be 4. It is so good. And there are so many Bones references that it just makes me so happy. Oh yeah, I'm obviously watching Bones. I started rewatching Superstore again. Season 3 of Superstore. Ooh, they are firing on all cylinders. It is so solid. And then St. Dennis, obviously. St. Dennis Medical I'm watching. But the thing is, I always forget the shows I watch the moment they come out. I always forget because I'm like, it's here. And then it's like out of my Hulu homepage. New Scrubs, still fantastic. Loving it. Took a break from old Scrubs because it was like too much to watch new and old at the same time for me. What else am I doing? Listening to Amy Poehler's podcast. It's good. It owns me. It's good. It's really good. It's like better than I expected. It's really good. I really, really enjoy it. And the only other thing I'm obsessed with right now is my new Stony Clover Lane jacket. I don't know why there isn't more fanfare about this jacket. Maybe that's my job right now. But this jacket just like appeared. I saw someone screenshot a photo and put it on Threads. And I was like, what is that jacket? I literally texted Kendall and was like, what is this jacket? It's also on like, they posted it, I think, on the Stony Clover stories or feed. It was just there and that was it. But it's on their site. It comes in red and it comes in navy. And it's a little quilted jacket. And the pockets in the front are Mickey shaped. And it snaps, not buttons. My hands don't like to do buttons. I have old hands. They're tired. They're tired from typing on my phone, okay? CapCut with these small thumbs on a phone, I can't, closing a button is a nightmare for me. I'm very tense in my hands. So it has snaps, and the snaps are Mickey shaped. But then even more than that, they have a collar, which you can pay extra to get embroidered or chain stitched or whatever the heck it's called. And so I now have this Mickey Mouse jacket that fits so well. It's like just thick enough for a night at Disneyland before it really gets cold out. Oh my gosh, I got the small medium and it fits like a medium. Like there's, I'm usually a medium, but there's like a little room to wear like a little light sweatshirt or something under. It's so cute. And then I got my name on it. Oh, so beautiful. And it did cost, you know, not nothing. It was an investment to me, but I think it's really hard to find, for me, Disney pieces that I'm like, I know I'm going to wear this for 10 years. And I know I'm going to wear this jacket constantly. I have nothing else like it. It's so stylish. And it has my name on it, which feels like a really nice, like, Mouseketeer reference. I can't recommend it enough. It's like in my story highlights or whatever. It's so good. It's so good. So if you're on the fence, again, I got a medium. It says small, medium, but it's like an oversized for small. It's like a bit, like, say like a medium plus, maybe medium plus, but you want something under. So it's maybe a medium because it's a jacket because you want to fit something under. It's wonderful. I love it. If you get it, I can't wait to twin with you at the parks. Oh, I'm so excited. I need it to be a little colder so I can wear it. I need it to be a little colder so I can wear it. And that was our gab sesh. I hope you enjoyed. I have had so much coffee that I maybe need to sit down. I record this standing. Isn't that fun? I don't know. When I sit, I feel like I have less energy. I think the secret to life when you have a brain that works like mine is to stand. I also you can't see what I'm seeing. I like reorganized some books in my office because I got rid of some. And they're like, there's one where it's like a pink, a red, and then like a reddish orange and then an orange. And it's very pleasing to look at. And I'm quite enjoying it. And that's all. If I don't leave now, I will never stop talking. Okay. Love you. I will see you soon. The Churros call is really fun. So stick around for that. And yeah, see you next week. Oh my God. Next week's a fun one. Get excited for next week. It's going to be good. Welcome back, Becky.
I just woke up from my 2-second nap. It's great.
Guys, I let her rest for a few moments, and then I was like, we need to resurrect her. There's Disney discounts, and we got to talk about it.
If you are a Disney Plus subscriber, they have a little perk for you. It does require a 2-night minimum stay, which isn't a problem in Disney World, right?
Which is very low.
Exactly. Valid most nights, June 21st to August 15th. Prices per night for room only, as low as All-Star Sports in a standard room, $99 a night.
These are prices that I remember, Becky, yeah, from when I booked my bachelorette party 11 years ago. 11 years ago.
Port Orleans Riverside is $169 in a standard room. Art of Animation in a Cars Family Suite, are you sitting down? Mm-hmm. $249. Animal Kingdom Lodge, Savannah View, $369 a night plus.
Do you know how much money I've paid for that view? It is not.
A lot more than that.
It is not under $400, I can tell you that.
No, these are restricted just to these resorts and just these views, and they are going to go quickly. So if it's something you really are interested in and you're a Disney Plus subscriber, give us a call. Let us know. We'll be happy to see if we can find these for you. But we have not seen these rates this low in years and years and years. On top of that, they still have their Get a Free Dining Plan rolling. So if the room rate was enough to get you there, you can purchase a non-discount minimum 4-night, 4-day package that includes room and ticket with Park Hopper and get that free dining plan if you book by April 30th. So that one's going to come up on us pretty quickly if they don't extend it. And it's for most stays June 28th to December 21st. So it goes for the rest of the year. There's some blockout dates in there, obviously, for the holidays, but it does cover a lot of space for you. And if that doesn't appeal to you, they do have the save up to 30% off rooms for late summer and early fall, 30% from July 30th to October 3rd, with the Florida residents saving up to 35% and pass holders saving up to 40%. But wait, there's more. You don't want to go to Disney World. Don't worry. We got you. Alani is there. And they've come up with a new date for their save up to 25% rate for 5 or more nights and 20% off four consecutive nights, and that's most nights August 9th to October 18th if you book by September 27th. Last but not least, because of course there's always something at Disneyland,
which always is
our home park, save up to 25% on select Disneyland Resort hotels May 22nd to September 7th. Wow. And it is for the Grand Californian, the Disneyland Hotel, and the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. But that has to be completed by September 8th. So right now, if you want to experience Disney in many of its forms, there's an offer for you.
Incredible. And don't forget, guys, $50 kids tickets at Disneyland this summer. So yeah, you literally use your savings on tickets for young children or children, any children, older children, all of them,
all the children
in your family. And oh, and mine just ran through the house. It's like she knew that it was possible for us to go to Disneyland. Thank you so much, Becky. These are amazing. And I'm so glad to be able to share them.
Well, thank you for having me as usual. I love sharing these details. And of course, for those who want to look at the cruises and say you're listening to us right now and it's midnight, just go to bookmeicruise.com and you can pull up all the Disney cruises there as well.
Oh, you're the best.
See ya.
Hey, Carly, this is Rachel from New Mexico. I am also popcorn themed, and I've been thinking a lot about what you said about the popcorn being off lately at Disney World. So I've been, you know, eating a lot of popcorn recently at Disney World, you know, for research. And I agree, a lot of inconsistency, during this trip that I've been here, a lot of underwater popcorn. And then I had like one experience with the stand that's over by Mickey Minnie's where it was so oversalted. This is the Hollywood Studios, and it was so oversalted that I actually had to like throw it out. Like it almost tasted poisonous. And like, that's the first time I've ever thrown up popcorn, maybe in my life. So that was the first. But on the flip side, I've had perfect, absolutely perfect buttered popcorn. So buttery, so nice, at the stand that's over by Creations in Epcot. And then also your favorite stand, the one by the Hub in Magic Kingdom. And so that got me thinking, do you have a favorite go-to popcorn stand in each of the four parks where you're like, this is the best stand in that park? And also at Disneyland as well. I'd be curious to know from your very expert popcorn opinion. Bye-bye.
Ooh, I love a popcorn call. I love a popcorn call. And I love that we are all collectively eating popcorn for research. They think science is happening and living with the land? Nah, dude, it's us right here eating our way through the different popcorn stands to figure out which one is the best. Now, I want to flag, your call came from mid-March. And frankly, I am shocked because when I was there in early February, the weather was wackadoo. It made a lot of sense to me because the mix that they use for popcorn is typically coconut oil based. I'm almost entirely sure that's the one they use there too. It's like what all popcorn in an industrial way is made from when you like go to a popcorn maker. It's like the bag and it has like the flavacol, etc. Coconut oil, you know, kind of changes consistencies when it's very cold, depending to warm. When it's warm, it starts more liquidy, starts softer. So I figured it was the cold that was affecting it. But if you're calling for mid-March and it's not like cold, cold, cold there, interesting, interesting data set. I'm very sorry to hear about your oversalted one. I have, and I don't really want to admit this on Maine, but we're going to because we're discussing it. And I know that you guys know me and I'm not someone who likes to cause trouble, but I have exchanged popcorn before. I have. I don't know if I've talked about it, but I have. I didn't when we got the one at Epcot because my mom kept eating it. But when I've gotten myself popcorn and mostly if it's burnt. If it's burnt, I will go to a different stall and be like, I'm so sorry. I got it from that other one. They burnt it over there. Could I just get one and I'll throw this out in front of you? And they're usually very cool about it. But that rarely happens because usually the popcorn is pretty consistent. And this is the second layer of wow, because you mentioned that you're also like, look at me remembering facts from this call. I'm so proud of myself. You mentioned that your favorite at Epcot was the stand by Creations. That was the worst popcorn I've ever had in my life. That one time, I've gotten it there before and it's been great. That was the popcorn I got that I talked about where I was like, I am not eating this, it's so dry. So I don't know what went wrong. That said, I did get a call a few months ago about my favorite popcorn stands at Disneyland. And since then, I have been doing additional research. So I do have the list of my go-to popcorn stands for you that hopefully this will lead you in the right direction on your popcorn imbibing journey going forward. So here's my hit list of popcorn locations. And keep in mind, I'm never going to turn down a popcorn. But this is where, more often than not, my legs just kind of take me towards when I am in the mood for popcorn. Starting with Disney World, as you know, as you mentioned in this call, Magic Kingdom, my mom swears by the popcorn vendor in the hub on the right-hand side. If you're facing the castle, that is also where I am often getting popcorn. If I don't get it there, sometimes I will get it on that little walkway, like in Fantasyland, like right as you're going towards Dumbo, like right on the right-hand side. I have gotten it there, but something about getting it in the hub just hits so hard. Like, you get to the park, you get a Joffrey's, you walk back, you get your popcorn, like, oh, that is a perfect day to me. At Epcot, I actually usually go to the popcorn stand over by Journey into Imagination. I do feel like they open the popcorn stands a little later in the day at Epcot than I would prefer. That may just be because I'm chronically dehydrated and I crave it for breakfast, but I do feel like they open at 10, maybe like 11, maybe a little later. Maybe that's just a false memory. I don't trust my brain because I can't remember anything typically. But I do feel like I always wanted for breakfast there and it's not open yet, but I've never had a bad one there. And something about that stand, just like, I don't know if it's because they used to have flavored popcorn and like we've lost so much in our lifetime because we've gotten rid of the flavored popcorn they used to have. There was like sour cream and onion, and there was a few other flavors, and maybe that's why my body is drawn towards it, because it's like, I know you used to be unique. But that stand has not failed me. I feel like they are kind of firing in all cylinders there. They're always slinging ice cream and I think like pretzels and popcorn. There's a lot happening there. It's not just a popcorn location, and I feel like because of that, it's more like a working kitchen and there's more people involved and the popcorn is moving through more freshly. I don't know if that is true, but that's just what my gut says. So I'm going to go with it. Also, shout out Epcot, the maple popcorn. You know, I love Werther's caramel popcorn. I love it. However, my mom has fully sold me and convinced me that the maple popcorn in Canada is excellent. Is worth going to Canada first for. It is. It is very good. And when it comes out hot, it is exceptional. My mom was right. She knew. And I gotta give her props because that popcorn is really one of my go-tos now as well. At Disney's Hollywood Studios, a park I am infrequently at, we know this, but if I'm getting popcorn, if I'm at Disney's Hollywood Studios, I'm getting popcorn, and if I'm getting popcorn, it's going to be the stand that's closest to the Brown Derby. I don't know why. I just feel cosmically drawn to that one. It just feels a little more themed than some of the other popcorn locations. Like, I know the Toy Story, there's another thing open, whatever. But like this one, you walk in, you're like, ooh, you're like, ooh, I'm traveling back in time. And that vendor right there just feels like a little cherry on top of like walking all the way into the park and then boop, just enjoying your popcorn. It's just, ooh, maybe it's the proximity to coffee, which is what speaks to me, but I like that stand best. It just feels like 1992 going to that stand. I can't explain it, just a gut feeling. And in Animal Kingdom, I'm not often getting popcorn here, I will admit. But if I do, it's going to be the stand that's in Africa, right where the walkway kind of like from Asia behind the tree meets up with the bridge walkway over into that land. Across from where you get Dole Whips. Like that one I go to, but admittedly, it's not my favorite. It is hit or miss. It feels like they're working with a lower powered machine there. We're going to just put the journalist hat on the coat rack for a minute because none of this is researched, okay? A caveat. This is just one woman's hysterical rant about popcorn vending machines. But I do feel like that one is more of like a... That machine doesn't feel as like heavy duty as like the one in the hub when there's like a whole cart, because that's more of like popcorn at a location. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, but it's just how I feel, okay? It just feels a little different. It feels a little different there. And I don't know. I also feel like someone told me something off the record about popcorn at that location that I can't repeat, but I'm going to stand behind the other words I said. And yeah, it just feels different there. Is there anywhere else that I usually get popcorn? I mean, here's the other thing I want you to keep in mind. Disney World has a more open refillable bucket policy than Disneyland. At Disney World, you can schlep around a bucket and get refills no problem. And if the popcorn's not good, if I'm spending like $2, $2.25 on it, it doesn't hurt that much. If I'm spending more than half of $10, you know what I mean? If it's like, where are we at now? $6.50, $6.75. Like if I'm spending over $6 on popcorn, I would like it to be good, please. And so that's where Disney World, if you don't have a bucket, but especially Disneyland, it's really important that you do get a good batch of popcorn. And Disneyland, mostly the issue they have is that it's undersalted. It is rarely burned, but it can be like not have like the full hit of that like yellow flavor. And but generally speaking, Disneyland does tend to do quite well. Does tend to be very, very good. Better than my experience at Disney World on this past trip at a minimum. And while I have discussed this a little bit before about Disneyland, I do think that I have confirmed that the stand over by It's a Small World has never failed me and is now my go-to popcorn stand at Disneyland Resort. I go there. Here's my move. Here's what I'm doing at Disneyland. I'm coming in on the monorail. If I'm with Pearl, coming in on the monorail. We're getting out in Tomorrowland. We're walking, because she's like, I want a snack. And I was like, we're going to get a snack. We will go to the popcorn stand. I will ask for one carton split into two, which you can do, which is amazing. So we each have our own carton because she doesn't want to share. She loves popcorn because she is my clone. And so we will get popcorn and then we will get in line for Small World. And it's a great way to kill time, especially when the line was longer during the holidays when it's a Small World holiday. So we go there. I go there a lot and the popcorn is always fantastic. But if I'm at Disney California Adventure, there is a popcorn stand there that I love and that is rising up the ranks in my book. Now, they want you to say that the good popcorn stand is the one to the left of the hub, the one over by Carthay Circle. They want you to say that's the popcorn stand. But no. There is another one that I think is churning out the best popcorn at the park. It is the one over just past Soarin' by the Pluto meet and greet. Right before you're like about to transition, you see the Grand Californian, you're about to walk past, you walk past the bathrooms, you walk past Soarin', you're on your way out, you see the plane, that one. That's my girl. That is the popcorn stand that I have relied on more often than not lately and has never disappointed. If you don't eat popcorn, I apologize that you listened to all of this, but if you do, consider this my elite VIP tips for how to never let popcorn fail you. And if you do encounter any really good popcorn or really bad popcorn, please reach out on the Churros Hotline to all of you. Like, send me a text. I don't often say you can send a text because I was getting too many texts and not enough calls, and I was like, I can't air the texts. We need more calls. But yeah, I would love to. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for this. Oh my gosh. Oh, when am I going to Disneyland? I'm going to Disneyland soon. I'm going to get more popcorn. Woo! Thank you for your call. Hey, that's our show! Thank you all so much for listening to this Gabstash episode. We have an interview next week. Stay tuned. It's going to be great. You are all going to love it. And I say that with confidence. So trust me, you're going to have a great time. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts and rate and follow us on Spotify. You can also give us a call anytime at 747-CHURROS. Keep those calls coming. They've been really fun. If you're looking to plan a trip, a Disney trip, a Universal trip, you're like, ooh, this is going to be the first year I go to Halloween Horror Nights and I blow it out. Look no further than MEI Mouse Fan Travel. MouseFanTravel.com/amusing is basically like your Disney World entrance gates to the perfect vacation. And yeah, we don't mind if you pull over and take a photo. It's totally cool with us. If you're thinking about a cruise, if you're like, I kind of want to stay at this hotel, but are wondering like when it might be the least expensive, any of those questions, just reach out, get a free quote, talk to them. They will help you with every aspect of your trip, and they are wonderful. I work with them because I think they're the best, and I think you should use them. Listen, you're entitled to your own choice, but listen, we love Becky. Do you know Becky? I said this to someone recently. I don't think they realized Becky fully runs MEI Mouse Fan Travel. Becky's not just like a fun friend. Becky also is like a boss business person. Becky is in charge of a wild amount of business. And if Becky's that fun, if that's like the leadership leading the entire company, you know it's a good vibe. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel across the internet. I'm posting more videos lately. Ah, she finally got her life together. And you can join the family at facebook.com/group/CarlyWiesel. Subscribe to my Instagram. Again, 99 cents a month. I post, honestly, 5 to 6 times a week. But that makes it sound like I'm only posting 5 things. I will post a lot during the week. I post almost every single day and I post multiple things. It's like a whole other internet profile that's happening on the down low. And I would love to have you be part of that cool hangout community. 99 cents a month. Head to my Instagram. Click the subscribe button if it is available. Not everyone has it. It's a weird thing. I hope this is leveled out by now, but I know someone can gift you a subscription if not. So fingers crossed. I love it, and I'd love to see you there. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, honey, it's Mom. Your cruise sounded so wonderful. From all the pictures I looked at, you and Pearl having a blast. That's what it's all about. It's wonderful. And yes, the one bedrooms are beautiful. I was lucky enough on the Wish to be with you and go to Jeffrey's party in his room. And that's where I met Andrew Barth Feldman, who was the sweetest and the most adorable, and Joshua Bassett, and of course, the great Ashley Epstein. I was so happy to meet her and a bunch of other fun people. It felt so good to hang out with you and your friends. It was a night I'll always treasure. It was great. Oh, my heart broke when the other table sang happy birthday to, and not to Pearlie's table. I'm so sad. I'm so sorry that that was not the best experience that night. But I know we sang happy birthday to Pearl many, many times this weekend, which made up for it. So that was great. And I remember in one of our cruises, so when we're in Florida, we are 3 hours ahead from you when you're in L.A. So, of course, when Pearl says I'm hungry, it's really 7 p.m. her time and not 10 p.m. on the cruise when everything is closed. So she was hungry one night, so I ran upstairs to the large buffet, and everybody was, like, done and just cleaning up, and I was able to find this wonderful man who worked there, and he was putting the last of everything away, and I said, is there anything that you can give me, cereal or anything for a three-year-old, because she's a little hungry? And he came back with a big bowl of Cheerios. He saved the day. He was wonderful. Pearl was so happy with her cereal, and she watched Frozen. It was a win-win night. It was so much fun. I'm so happy you both had the best time. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearlie. Bye-bye.